Okay. Story. So here we have old Pio, or someone who starts to feed the animals outside of this window. And he's standing there looking out in the snowy garden. And the little bird is eating, and the squirrel coming for breakfast every day. And he starts to talk to them, or rather be with them. And he remembers the film he saw, or several, of ladies who can talk to animals and who have that as their profession, saying that you don't talk with words, but with thoughts, images. And he stands there and something dawns on him, at least so he thinks. But yes, not only do the animals out there in the forest seem to live in another dimension, untouched by the heat and cold of the human world, and thought they are otherworldly beings. And then I thought, well, so am I, and so are we all. And his old worldview of a world of matter, and maybe not, worlds beyond it, it all now fell into place. And he thought about the cosmology book he had just written, that at the very center of it has consciousness, and this is how everyone, all cultures, saw it before materialists came. And he realizes how the mind so powerfully creates worlds, and how some with a philosophy can project a worldview into the minds of people, making them see a different cosmos. But if you see it this way, that I describe in my book, and that really describes the old and the non-materialistic way, the idealist way, the cosmos appears gradually different. And he stands there, and it's as if these little persons, even the little birds sitting there now, outside his window, are happy that he's feeding them, and are saying things, not with words, but just nice moods, nice imagery in the mind there. A mind that is shared between them. And this is what Bhuvar Loka, the astral world, as they call it, is, the mental realm, which is much more closer to reality level of understanding existence. And he has been for years, when he meets dogs, exchanging these little mental images. Friend here, okay. Okay. And I think we all do, don't we? He says there. Because it's the world we are in. It's the life we live, no matter what someone puts in our minds. Whatever suggestion someone gives. And it feels it almost a bit scary to start seeing the reality of this world. And how the people, those who live here, are conditioned higher intelligence into just about any perception of the world and society and what's going on and politics and wars and this and that. How easy it is to make them see a world that you have designed. And well, the only solace, I think, is that even above those who rule the world today, the smart ones, there are even smarter ones. And beyond illusions, who are by their nature temporary, there is reality, and reality prevails. Goodness prevails. Love prevails. because that is reality. And he is this day sitting there in front of his digital easel, looking illustrations, pictures of the underworld. And he's thinking more and more, realizing as he considers it, or suspecting that yes, these worlds that you see on the old paintings of the old masters and the from the old mythologies of heaven and the underworld and the different worlds and realms, are mainly about our states of mind. And if someone says, no, they are existing for real, they're not just in your mind. They're not just describing states of mind, they are geographical locations. They are real, you have to believe in. But again, that very expression, that very reaction and way of reasoning is conditioned by materialism. That the material, the world that we see with our five senses out there is real, is more real than the others. But if we see it the other way, that the mind is more real, the mental realm is more real, and the physical is an effect of it, a backdrop for the activities, the stage that we play on. We who are real. The eternally existing Atmas, the parts of God, eternal, blissful, and wise. That's how we are, that's what reality is. So when we say that, or we depict, tell stories about these subterranean realms under the ground and the caverns, or the hell and the heaven, bright heaven up there among the clouds. These are metaphors, these are allegorical descriptions of levels of existence that are beyond that physical world, as you call it, the world of the five senses, and higher. And it means that, not that they are somewhere else, but on the level of the mind, the level of the mental realm, the astral realm, which means that if you have an experience right now, wherever you are, of being in hell. And that's where you are. Hell on earth, as they call it. And there is also same experience in other realms when you leave this earthly realm. And when you so the point is, when you find yourself in such a realm, in such an environment, just like I've been writing here, and that's the section I'm editing and looking at a bit now and want to illustrate in my book about the subterranean heavenly planets, the Bilasvargas. And as I study those from the old scriptures, they remind me very much of the place where I sit and do it, in cafes, in indoor shopping centers, where the light does not come from the jewels on the heads of snakes, but from lamps on the heads of cables. So the point is, what's important here is not the spatial situation, you know, where geographically on this planet and in this cosmos I am right now situated, sitting and experiencing my existence. But what kind of environment I find myself in, because it will generally reflect my consciousness. Otherwise I will go somewhere else. Birds of same feather flock together and all of that. And yes, some they prefer due to their beliefs and their understanding, and I would say materialism, to build their own controlled biosphere environment. We don't need God. We understand the laws of nature and how to use them. So you live there in well-lit 24/7, if you so wish, environment under... on the ground, in the sense of, you know, in the caves, in the buildings, the caves that you build, caverns that you build, shielding you from the sun and the wind and the rain of nature. And inside there, making your own atmosphere. Your own sun. Your own world. So, for instance, when the Srimad Bhagavatam talks about these realms, it's not a material kind of guide, travel guide, fly around throughout the cosmos. So even the attempt at trying to draw some kind of space where you put these different places in, it becomes allegoric, mythological, you could say metaphorical. And if we understand them that way, these old drawings and paintings and sculptures and so on, and stories, then another world opens. We start to, well, talk to the animals. He says, as he walks there back and forth again in his apartment. And this could maybe also go under Priya or something.